This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
I am Don LaGreca. You know, I complained a little bit yesterday about the fact that there were only two games last night. Boy, they were two unbelievable games. I'm glad they were kind of separated, so I was able to enjoy both of them. Flames with an unreal comeback against the Nashville Predators. The Predators have been quietly one of the best teams in the league. They get Forsberg back. They're getting great goaltending. They're almost unbeatable at home. And they were crushing the Flames in this one. Got the first 14 shots on goal and had a very, very comfortable lead of 4-1 after two periods of play. And the Flames have been a disappointment this year, playing around 500, just really, really struggling. They rattle off three straight goals. Anderson is second. Lindholm is ninth. Kline gets his first of the season, the former Islander. Now the game is tied, but then Austin Watson gets his third at 18:38. So you figure, all right, Nashville's going to survive it, right? 6-1-1 at home. They blow the lead, but they get the goal late. Well, they pull the goaltender. Matthew Tkachuk gets his fifth of the year, gets a rebound from Monahan and Gaudreau at 19:21. All right, well, now they're going to go to overtime. And with 2 seconds left in overtime, maybe the goal of the year from Tkachuk. When you watch it live, you probably didn't appreciate it. It's like, how the heck did he get a shot off in the slot, gets it from Lindholm. He shoots it between his legs, beats Rene for the goal. We'll see if this kind of spurs the Flames on at all, but this was just unreal. After the Svechnikov goal a couple of days ago, the lacrosse move from behind the net, to the Tkachuk goal, just in such close proximity, having the goals of the year, just unreal. So that was a lot of fun. I'm telling you, they're just goals aplenty. And what a win for the Canadiens. You figure this was going to be a tough night, right? Start of a road trip. Montreal played the night before. They got the win in Phoenix. And then they got to go up against Vegas. Great team. You're playing with Kincaid. Hadn't won a game all year. You figure this is going to be a layup for Vegas, right? Well, Deneau scores 2:35 into the game, but then Vegas takes the lead. Carlson ties it, and then a goal late from Tuck makes it 2-1. So you figure everything's kind of stabilized. Well, Drouin gets the only goal of the second period. It's all right, we're tied at 2 going to the third. Then it's all Vegas. Glass gets his third. Stone gets his eighth. You're 8 minutes into the third period. Canadians are down by 2. You figure they're sucking wind. They're down 2 after a play the night before. And what happens? Tatar gets a goal. All right, innocent enough. Unassisted is fourth. But then Gallagher scores with the goaltender pulled. Remember, Montreal had pulled this last year in Vegas, getting a goal late. This time it's Gallagher with 1:58 to go in the game. And then Max Domi scores a great individual effort goal 26 seconds in. So Montreal's starting to come into its own here. They're starting to play better. They're getting some great performances from the center position in Drouin. They're getting good goaltending. So what a great back-to-back night for the Montreal Canadiens, who are now 7-4-2, starting to warm up a little bit there in the division. Now, tonight we got a lot of games for a Friday, so it's kind of odd to have just two games on Thursday, a lot of games on Friday. Two struggling teams at the Rock, the Devils and the Flyers. Devils 2-5-3. We outlined their problems yesterday. Flyers 5-5-1, getting awful goaltending. If it's not Hart, it's Elliott. Elliott had stabilized things, but then looked terrible in their loss to Pittsburgh back on Tuesday. Lightning continue their eastern swing against the Islanders. They played miserable on this trip so far, but still were able to get a couple of points courtesy of the Devils winning that game 7-6, and the Islanders looking for their eighth consecutive win. You know, talking to some people around the Islanders, there have been about 3 to 4 games that they played on the 7-game trip where the 7-game winning streak where they probably were outplayed. But that's a good thing for the Islanders because I think that they eventually will play better and just continue to win. So they've won 8 of their first 11 games. That's not bad. Sabres and Capitals, this is the game of the night. Both teams with 9 victories, 9-2-2 for the Sabres. Capitals are 9-2-3. We're going to have the top 5 coming up. I'm speculating that those two teams are going to be rounding out our top 5. Red Wings and Hurricanes, that's a tough spot for Detroit on the road. Blue Jackets coming off a difficult loss. They're going to be in St. Louis to take on the Blues, who just all of a sudden now 7-3-3. Now, that still means you're kind of around 500, but still, not bad that they've only had three regulation losses. Things have kind of cooled off for the Avalanche, but they're still 8-2-2 taking on a Stars team that I just haven't been able to figure out. And I'm starting to feel better because, like, listening to a lot of games on the radio, watching a lot of games on television, I wasn't the only one, by the way, that had the Stars coming out of the Western Conference. It seemed like everybody did. There's still plenty of time. Maybe they'll be this year's version of the St. Louis Blues and kind of find themselves a little bit later on in the season. But I feel a little vindicated in the sense that I wasn't on an island by myself thinking the Stars were going to be good. So a tough stop for them in Colorado. Ducks and the Canucks. Always a tough one to say for sure. But the Vancouver, I've talked quite a bit about how good I think that team has been so far this year. And the Ducks are kind of where we thought they would be after a quick start. Jets and the Sharks. Jets now under 500. I'm sure you heard all the conversation about Dustin Byfuglien. He had the ankle surgery. He's going to be out about 5 months. Jets may be on the hook for having to pay him, considering that injury happened while he was at work. I'm not sure where this is going to end up. Many thought there would be resolution because he had the surgery, that maybe the Jets would try to make it work for Dustin Byfuglien to come back if there was still time left in the season. To try to make it work if the Jets were going to make the playoffs. But I don't know where we stand on this right now. And the Sharks finally home after a very up-and-down road trip. All right, so you know what it is. We've talked about it many times before. It's a Friday. We're deeper into the season now, and it's always fun to get into the top five.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5. Yeah! Number 5.
I'm going to stick with Vancouver at 5. They were 5 last week, and I don't see any reason to change. 8-1-1 in the last 10, undefeated at home, deep in every category. I don't want to sound redundant, but, you know, Horvat's been good for them. Pettersson has been great for them as well. The blue line's deep. The goaltending, surprisingly, has been good. I think Vancouver is very deserving to, again, be in the top 5.
Number 4.
You know, I'm going to squeeze in Nashville. That was a disappointing loss last night, but they did earn a point. They're 6-1-2 so far at home this season. They played a lot of home games. I get it, but they've taken advantage of those home games. They got a plus 13, which is among the best in the league. They played a lot without Forsberg, but he's now back in the lineup. You know how good the blue line is, how good the defense is. But, you know, Nashville is a team. Everybody's talking about Colorado, and rightly so. The Avalanche deserve a lot of credit to being the team that many people think are going to come out of the Western Conference. But I think we're sleeping a bit on Nashville, and I think they're deserving at number 4.
Number 3.
Number 3 is going to be the Buffalo Sabres. 7-2-1 in their last 10, plus 11. Still have not lost a game in regulation at home. They're sloppy at times. They're so heavily skilled. But getting a chance to watch them live over the last couple of games, they make a lot of mistakes that are going to eventually come back to burn them. But their goaltending has been terrific. Highly skilled in a lot of different areas. Buffalo, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to maintain this pace, but right now I think they are still the third best team in the league.
Number 2.
Number 2, we're going to have to go with Washington. Number 2, they are 7-1-1 on the road. I mean, that is just absolutely terrific. You know, people haven't even paid attention to them in D.C. because with the run with the Washington Nationals, Ovechkin is really warming up. John Carlson's on his way to a Norris Trophy. They've got the best record in the National Hockey League right now. They're really warming up. I've got them at 2.
Number 1.
Boston Bruins are the best team in the league. They are. They might have been the best team last year when you consider they went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Plus 16 goal differential is the second best in the NHL. All right? It's the best in the Eastern Conference. They have yet to lose in regulation at home. Only one regulation loss, period. And that came on the road. They're still 4-1-1 on the road. I mean, 9-1-2. Pasternak leads the league in goals. He's on the best line of the NHL with Marchand and Bergeron. The goaltending has been terrific no matter who has been in there. Halak has been good. We know how good Rask is. Chara is having a rejuvenation to his season here. And he's banging on the door for 43. McAvoy, Carlo. I mean, the team is just terrific. And they just got Krejci back from injury as well. I think they're the best team in the National Hockey League. I got Colorado Colorado on the outside looking at it. I could have very easily put them in the top five right now. It's just they haven't played a lot of games recently. They haven't been, I think, at their best in the recent couple of games. I mean, St. Louis, Carolina, also teams in the conversation. Edmonton, I think, has kind of fought back a little bit after those back-to-back shutout losses. So there's a couple of teams that could be easily in the top five. I really should do a top 10, but I just can't afford to be here all day doing the top five, but or a top 10 or a top 20 or just give you the order. One of the things that me and Rick DiPietro do here at 98.7 ESPN is they ask us to rate the teams 1 through 31, and it's such a difficult thing to do, and I guess they put all our names in the hopper, and they come up with the power rankings on ESPN.com and ESPN Plus, and Rick and I get a chance to vote for that. It's so difficult to do, and but we just have some fun with the top five. And if you want to disagree, go right ahead at Don LaGreca. Hashtag game misconduct is the way to do that. All right, let's hear from you. Sam Diaz says, Don, hope you didn't take yesterday's suggestion for the podcast as a diss to the show. I love game misconduct. Thank you for doing it. What happened to the Preds last night? Where do you rank the Tkachuk goal? Fantastic shot, but I think Coleman's goal is best so far this season. That was a terrific goal as well. No, I didn't take it as a diss at all. I was just trying to explain. And of course, if you missed it, Sam was saying that sometimes we seem to be a little leaning towards Ranger, Devil, and Islander conversation. But this is my favorite part of the podcast, to be able to hear from you. And I think that's why it's kind of important to talk about all the teams. For sure. Forever T8 says, if you had to pick a better all-time Ranger goalie, who are you picking? Mike Richter or Henrik Lundqvist? Also, for the third straight year, I'll ask, what's your pick for a Canadian team to win the cup since it changes yearly lately? Wow, that's a good question. When you look at the best teams, all right, Edmonton right now is the best team as far as the standings are concerned of the Canadian teams. I don't think that team's ready to win a cup. I don't think Vancouver is ready to win a cup, I mean, this year. Montreal seems a little ways away. I would have said Calgary, but I've been very disappointed in them this season. Toronto seems to me, even though they've fallen off dramatically over the last month or so, because of all the high-end skill talent that they have, and it's so young, that to me seems where you're going to build a champion. So I will say it's Toronto. Jake Cole's top five says he's got the Oilers at 5, Sabres at 4, Capitals at 3, Avalanche 2, Bruins at 1. Also, can I make a request to get Linda Cohn on the show? Would make for an amazing podcast. Well, we could try to do that. She's out in California. I usually tape these things at about, 1:30, so it might be a little early for her. I will check it out. She's a friend. She's played my charity softball game. We've done Ranger pre and post games together. I would love to get Linda on. I think we got a chance to do that. But to get back to Forever TH, I forgot we were focusing so much on your Canadian question. But I still put Mike Richter over Henrik Lundqvist for this reason. Lundqvist has been a compiler, but I don't know if there's been a better money goaltender in the history of that organization or really in the metropolitan area. And this includes Brodeur, it includes Billy Smith. Mike Richter was money. I know he only won the one cup, but I saw him flat out steal series. I mean, he did it against the Devils in 94, did it against the Devils in 97. When we forget that run to the conference final for the Rangers and beat the Devils, and I thought he stood on his head. Listen, Lundqvist is going to end up as the greatest Ranger goaltender of all time. He's going to have over 500 wins and all that. And Richter only had the one cup, but he was stunted because of the concussions and the knee injury that he suffered at the Olympics. Not the Olympics, the All-Star game. But boy, he was a money goaltender, I think. But it's certainly a great conversation. Chris says, hi, Don. In honor of the Leah Hextall making a future appearance, here are my top five suggested guests. So I like this. Number five, Phil Esposito. Phil's always fun. I don't have a game in Tampa this year. He doesn't travel. But I will try to get him on because he's got some great stories. Number four, Mike Milbury. Always a very good interview. I one time asked him, should he be fired when he was the general manager of the Islanders, and that made for an explosive conversation. Number three, Jeremy Roenick, also a friend of the show. Bill Clement, one of my favorite people in the National Hockey League. Love Bill. And then number one, Dave LaGreca. I'm sure you two would have fun together. We would have fun together, but as much as, I know as much wrestling as my brother knows hockey, which is zero. So that would just be pure entertainment to have him on, which is not bad. I mean, I am looking forward to entertainment, but there wouldn't be much hockey conversation if I had my brother on, but that is a tremendous suggestion. Ozzy says, in your opinion, concerning New Jersey's current state, would it be the worst idea to consider trading Hall for a proper goaltender and some pieces? Jersey has a decent enough prospect pool that maybe that's all they need. Perhaps Saros for Hall, Kempfer or Ranta, Halak. You'd need more. I mean, all the goaltenders that you just mentioned, I don't think Arizona's trading Kempfer. I wouldn't say that. Saros, I think, is a great suggestion. You'd need more than that. I mean, Hall is a forever type of player. He's an MVP, but you do have to pay him. So it's a very interesting concept, because you're not going to get true value for Taylor Hall, because whoever trades for him is going to have to give him a contract. So he's probably going to be a rental for a team that's at the cap. I'm not sure there'll be a sign and trade kind of thing for him, but I do think if you move him, and it's becoming more and more likely that you will have to move him, that it's going to have to be a goaltender included in that deal. I don't think there's any question about that. Donnell says, hey, Don, my question is for local hockey in the New York area. Who do you think is the best player that ever played for the Rangers, and who is the best player that ever played for the Islanders, and who is the best player that ever played for the Devils? All right. I've always said the best Ranger is Brian Leetch. You know, defenseman, they've never really even replaced him after all these years that he's been gone. Conn Smythe Trophy winner, offensive defenseman. That to me, of all the great, and it's been great, you know, Gilbert, amazing, in the Hall of Fame. Certainly, Jokinen, amazing player. Mark Messier, but Mark Messier also made a lot of hay outside the organization. Gretzky, but he wasn't here long enough. To me, it's always been Brian Leetch. It's hard to say anybody else but Martin Brodeur. I mean, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, goaltenders of all time. Listen, Patrick Elias, tremendous player. You look at Scott Niedermeyer, an amazing Hall of Fame defenseman. But Scott Stevens, also Hall of Fame defenseman, great player. But, you know, Marty Brodeur is easily the best. The Islanders, it's very hard, because they had so many great players, and all in the same era. You know, do you go goaltending with Billy Smith? Do you go Trottier, Bossy, Potvin? It's incredible. It's between Bossy and Potvin for me. Bossy, an incredible goal scorer. Potvin, one of the great defensemen of all time. I'd say defense is harder to play, so I'd probably say Denny Potvin. But I can have Islander fans complain about that for sure, but that's probably where I would look to probably go with that. Troy says, are you surprised that we're still seeing third-period leads erased at this point of the season? No, I mean, it's still very early. I mean, what's the most games played in the National Hockey League? Just looking at the standings right now, I think it's 15. Calgary's played 15 games. You've seen teams like Ottawa with 11. Devils have only played 10 games. It's still very, very early in the season, but also this is where we are in the league now. All right? The clutching and grabbing is over. All right? The physicality is starting to slowly be taken out of the game. You know, so it's a finesse sport now. And there's room to roam. Now, come playoffs, it's a little bit different. I was thinking about this with Johnny Gaudreau, because he's one of my favorite players in the league, but I've been kind of disappointed with him in the postseason. But he's got room to roam in the regular season, right? But then in the postseason, when everybody kind of clamps down, thinks more defensively, he doesn't have nearly as much room, and you can kind of push him around because he's diminutive in size. But all these guys, they're small, they're quick, they find room. So it's more of an offensive league. More offense means more of a chance to come back in the third period, but also add to the fact that it's still very early. Today's November 1st, so all the games that have been played so far have been in less than a month. So I think we still have a long way to go before we start to really figure out where everybody is, everybody's system, getting used to new coaches, getting used to new line mates and all that, and I think it takes a little bit more than a dozen games to do that. All right, this was a lot of fun. Fridays always are. All right, we got a big weekend. I'll be in Nashville tomorrow for the Rangers and the Predators, so I'm looking forward to that. Always good. My fifth straight year in Nashville. They always treat the fans right, and the game is always tremendous there. So I'm looking forward to checking them out and how they respond after that really tough loss last night. So we regroup on Monday. EJ Raddick, of course, will be our Monday special guest to recap the weekend. Everybody be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the hockey. Back with you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for You're listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.